Good morning. So first of all, I wanted to say thank you for your prayers and for your support of RUF International at George Mason. RUF International is a little different from several other RUFs in the sense that we are specifically trying to welcome and to reach out to and to love well international students who are at George Mason. And so some of the things we do is we just do fun events. Like yesterday we went hiking at in Harper's Ferry. And we took this path that you cross this railroad bridge, and then I guess you go along the canal trail. I see some heads nodding, so some people have already done this. And then it's like straight up for like 1,000 feet. and so I'm feeling that today. it's been a while since I've been going that much up for that long in a long time. But the views were great, and the students had a great time. And it was, had a great time on the trail, had a great time in the cars talking with other students. And so that's part of what we do to help welcome students, to give them opportunities for fun events, and also to help them to build relationships with volunteers, with other students, in the hopes that as these relationships grow, that they'll join us for either individual or some sort of group Bible study as we're going along. So thank you for your prayers and support. Secondly, I wanted to say that the confession of sin hit me particularly this morning, and so in that second paragraph it says, day after day we pretend that we have it all together because this is what others expect and it is what we want to believe about ourselves. And as I was reading that and saying that, I was like, oh, wow. That's me. That's definitely me today. And so definitely felt that. But I am so thankful that we have a God who is kind and generous and welcoming, so that even when we're trying so hard to have it all together, to look good, and then we still fail, that we have a God who is good and kind, with whom there is abundant mercy and kindness, and his mercies are new every morning. And so that hit me this morning. And I think one of the things that go along with that is you may be like me in this. Just the way I grew up, like, want everything to look neat, tidy, and packaged, have it all together, and then if for some reason things do go wrong, to show no emotional weakness. And that's just one of those things where it's like trying to keep things together and then trying to have that emotional, everything's okay, pushing forward, we're going to do this. And so that can be really hard too. And so I'm just going to remind you that our God created us with emotions, that our emotions are good, and that we can honestly share those with our God. Because it says he cares for us, he loves us. And so we don't just bring our physical weaknesses, but when we're hurting emotionally, we can bring that to our God as well. One of the beautiful things about our Savior Christ is that he is fully God and is fully human. So those emotions that we experience, he has experienced too. He truly knows how we feel. And so we can bring all of ourselves to our God, knowing that God has made us and He has redeemed us and He loves us and He cares for us. And I also wanted to give another thanks. I wanted to thank you for your commitment to seeing the gospel go forth in the world in reaching others. I had the privilege to join many of you, not yesterday, but the Saturday before, as part of your missions conference. It was a privilege to be with you. Thank you for letting me join. And I'm excited and grateful for you and your desire to see Jesus honored and glorified through the good news of Jesus going out among all peoples. So our passage for this morning is Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34. If you're able, would you please stand as I read the Word of God? Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34, this is the Word of God. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So far the reading of God's Word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you are strong and powerful and yet tender and merciful. We ask now that you will give us understanding of your word, that you will grow in us faith in Christ, that we will trust you more fully each day, that you will grow our love for you and for those around us, and that you transform us by the work of your Spirit, that you conform us to the image of Christ, and that you will do all of this for your glory and for your honor and for the praise of your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When my wife, Shireen, and I first began working with RUF International, some of the first students we met were students I'll call Sam and Linda. Sam and Linda were from Indonesia. They were married. Remarkable couple. They are brothers and sisters from Indonesia, believers in Jesus, and they came to the United States for further study. And Sam had come to work on a master's degree here. And we first met them in the ride from the airport to where they were staying. And they had reserved this they had reserved their apartment online from Indonesia. And so with that, they were using all of their cultural assumptions about what an apartment would look like and how it would be in making the reservation. And so we met them on the ride back, and they wanted us to be with them as they're signing the lease and checking out the apartment. And my wife and I, we are happy to do this. And so we went to check out the apartment. And as we went to check out the apartment, we stepped in. And, you know, we get, of course, we took our shoes off. We're going in. We're like two steps in. And our socks are soaked. The apartment complex had thought the best time, apparently, to clean their carpets was the morning that they were moving in. And so their carpets were wet. They needed to dry. And we stepped in, and we're looking around, and there's no furniture. Because they had expected, you're renting an apartment, it will be a furnished apartment. So wet carpet, no furniture, in a new country. They're still working on their English. And literally, I had met them like less than an hour of them getting off the plane and getting through customs. And so they were tired. They needed some rest. They needed to contact their family, say, hey, don't worry. We made it. We're here. We're safe so far. So Sam and Linda came to stay with Shireen and me for a few days. Gave the carpets some time to dry out. Taking them to some places to find some furniture and just getting to know them. And it was a blessing to be able to welcome them into our home, to spend that time with them. And, you know, probably within a few days of meeting them, Sam sat me down and we were talking, and Sam was like, you know, Matthew, we really like what you're doing. We want to be part of your ministry. I'm like, that's awesome. and throughout Sam and Linda's time with us at the university, they were an encouragement to us. They were a blessing to us because though they were international students themselves, they saw the blessing of welcoming and reaching out to international students. And so Sam and Linda were inviters. They would be going along, and they would... He would be at the bus stop waiting to come to the university. He's inviting students. He'd be in class. He's inviting students. It was so much fun. There'd be people, and he would text me like, I just invited somebody. Can you invite them too? I'm like, sure. And so like we had this double invitation, like they come over. And it was so much fun. But the reason I'm bringing this up is, and some of you may have had this experience yourself, right? Coming to a new country, leaving your support network, family, friends, the food that you love, to study, it's a challenge. These are big challenges. And what churches in this area have basically called me to do is to help welcome students who are at George Mason. And Sam and Linda are great examples of dear people created in the image of God who have come here, and because of being in a new place, new language, new situation, there are certain vulnerabilities, right? And it can be very scary, and they need support. And that is part of what we see God doing and calling us to here in Leviticus 19. These friends are created in the image of God, and God cares deeply about them. And he is calling us as his people to also care deeply. For those of you who like outlines, I didn't have one printed, but if you want the rough outline, this is what it is. God has loved and welcomed us, and God calls his people to love and welcome others. If you like taking notes, great. If not, that's fine too. But if I can say this, and not like, and kind of like everybody give up on the rest of our time together. If there's one thing to remember from today, the one thing that I want you to remember is this. God loves you and God cares for you. God loves you and God cares for you. I'm not sure how often you've seen sermons coming out of Leviticus. In my experience, it's kind of it's a book that doesn't get preached from all that often. You know, it's the Word of God, and God through it speaks beautiful truths to his people. I want to remind us a little bit about where we are here in Leviticus. Because if you think back to Genesis, there had been a famine in the Promised Land where the people of God were. And so God sends the Israelites. He allows the Israelites to go down to Egypt to get food, right? And so they're in food, and remember, this is a land of different customs, different language, different religions. And so the Israelites have gone down. And then, at the end of Genesis, you know, we see Joseph, and Joseph finally dies, but he makes his descendants and the people of Israel promise to bring his body up out of Egypt. Because he was believing the promises that God had given to the Israelites, that he would bring them into the promised land. And then you turn the page, right? And you start Exodus. And like almost immediately, it's like, and then there became a Pharaoh, who had forgotten Joseph. Because Joseph had done so much for the people of Egypt, right? He had basically saved the entire nation during a famine. But then there was a Pharaoh who arose who forgot Joseph and who began to enslave and to treat harshly the Israelites. And so the Israelites were oppressed, and they call out to God. And God raises up Moses to help deliver the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt and to bring them into the promised land, the land that he had promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And that promise had been passed down to all of his descendants. And so, with a mighty and powerful arm, God sends 10 plagues, right? And these are plagues that are amazing. You know, kind of like the first sign that God gives Moses to use is like, turn the water of the Nile into blood. And I'm like, that's amazing. It's hard for me to even imagine that. And then there's all these other plagues that get thrown on because Pharaoh had hardened his heart and would not let the people of Israel go. Until finally, we have the Passover, and the destroying angel comes through and kills the firstborn of all of Israel. Of all of Egypt, including firstborn sons and cattle. But the Israelites, because they had put the sign of the Passover on their doorposts and lintels, they were literally passed over. This death, this plague had passed them by. And so Pharaoh finally expels the people of Israel. Say, you know, finally, get out. I'm not going to say no. I'm just kidding again. Actually, get out. And the Israelites leave. And so they get to Mount Sinai. God gives them the Ten Commandments, makes this covenant with them. And then they're on their way to the Promised Land. And that's kind of where we are now. They're on their way. And that's where God gives the people of Israel this command. He tells them, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. And so I want you to notice here. Notice that God reminds the Israelites that they know what it is like to be strangers in a land. He's like, this is the command. Be kind, love the stranger who sojourns with you. And he reminds them, because you know what it's like. So if you're coming from one of those situations where you've made the move, you have a special understanding in your heart and your mind of the challenges and the difficulties that come along with that. So in effect, God has especially prepared you to help welcome others because you know what it's like to need that welcome. So the Israelites knew what it was like to experience being strangers, to experience mistreatment, to experience oppression. And God reminds them, hey, when you're in a better situation, don't mistreat people who are now in the same situation that you were. And then God grounds this command. Like he says, like the foundation of this command is this: I am the Lord your God. So he gives this command. He's like, the reason why you get this command is because I am the Lord your God, which means that God is personal. He knows you. He loves you. He has done great things for you. He is the Lord your God. He cares for you. That also means that, brothers and sisters, we are his people. He is our God, and we are his people. So the people of God are to love the stranger as themselves because it reflects God's character and because they know what it's like. And if you will, especially for those of you who have gone through that difficult transition of moving, like, here to the States, and you know what it's like to be a stranger, and you've dealt with that pain, and you've dealt with that sadness, and that isolation, and the way people kind of look sideways at you. First, I want to say that I am sorry for that experience and for the hurt that you've had there. That's not right. And God calls his people to more. Thank you for persevering through that hardship. You have wisdom about going through this hardship that is both personally hard in your heart. I'm sure it causes sadness and probably anger and frustration. And so I'm sorry for the pain that you've gone through in that. That's really hard. And I'm sorry. And it's okay to come before God, your Heavenly Father who cares about you, and to bring that pain and to cry. So God has given the Israelites this command. And throughout their history, you know, God eventually brings them into the promised land. They defeat the people of the land. And they're there. They're there in the land. And the Israelites have a mixed record of how they do, right? Sometimes they do a good job of welcoming others. Sometimes not so well. But several hundred years later, and this is when several hundred years later, Jesus arrives. Jesus arrives as a stranger. One who has left, what he has known, being the Son of God, that perfect fellowship with his Father. And Jesus comes as a baby human. He is born, and he has to deal with all of the hardships and the trials of growing up, of a lot of people looking at him and his mother thinking, Mary and Joseph haven't been married that long. But Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law of his Father. Where God calls his people to love, Jesus loved. Where God calls his people to serve, he served. And in Matthew 9, it says this: when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But Jesus had compassion. God has compassion. Jesus had compassion. And he's calling us to have compassion on those as well. Jesus had compassion on the crowds and he loved them. And because of our rebellion in the ways that we have dishonored God, the ways that we have sought to find a righteousness on our own, one of the things that we're doing in dinner discussion this semester is we're going through Bible passages, and we're basically talking about ways that we try to find our meaning and purpose and significance in life apart from Jesus. Basically, they're idols, things that we have set up to chase after this importance. But these idols fail us. And the whole point is to say, the idols that we set up, the idols that we make, they will fail us. But Jesus never fails. But we dishonor our Father through trying to set up these rivals of like, if only I had this, if only I did this, if only my life looked like XYZ, then everything would be okay. I would have meaning. I would have purpose. And by that, we dishonor our Father. But our Father still loves us. And Jesus demonstrates, he shows us the love of our Father. And that even while we were dishonoring God, even as we were enemies, Christ laid down his life for you. Think about that. The Son of God, the eternal Son of God, laid down his life for you because of God's love for you. You are dearly loved. You are chosen. You are special. And through Jesus' death, we are reconciled to our Father. We are reconciled. We have been brought near. Not only have we been brought near, but we have been brought into the family of God. Though we were once far off, God has brought us near. He's put us in his family. He calls us sons and daughters, and we are co-heirs with Christ. Because of what Jesus has done for you. We are in the family of God. And our Father takes special care of you. In John 14, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" And so during the lockdown, when we were doing like everything online on Zoom, I got an insight into this passage that I had not had before, because one of our students had moved back to, still taking classes online, but had moved back to her home country in Asia. And in the culture of her family, it is big multi-generational families in big multi-generational homes. And so we were meeting online, and she was back, and we were like, "Hey," and she was like, "Hey, would you like to see my house?" And we're like, "Sure," because like we had seen her in this room. And there's this giant table with all these chairs around it. And so, like, she turns the camera, and we're looking around. And she's like, "Yeah, this is the dining room. It has, at this table, we have room for about 40 to 50 people. Because the way that this house is built, it's expected that her parents are there, all of her brothers and sisters, and all of their families. So literally, there are many rooms in this house because the family is together, right? The family is together. And so I think this aspect of the culture that my student friend was sharing about is closer to what Jesus would have known himself, in the sense that the families are all together. We have grandparents, parents, children, and sometimes even grandchildren, right? They're all together. And in my friend's house, like, there was multiple kitchens, multiple dining rooms, and then like there were these dwelling places for all the brothers and sisters and all their families. So there are many rooms, and everybody is together. And so that's part of the picture that we see in what Jesus is telling us. In his Father's house, there are many rooms, and he has gone to prepare a place for us. That means that as the family of God, we'll all be together. We'll be together as the family of God, and we'll have that blessing of being with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But not only does Jesus bring us into the family of God, not only does he prepare a place for us in the Father's house, but he feeds us. Every time you celebrate the Lord's Supper, Jesus is feeding us. He's feeding us from himself, giving us spiritual, through faith, we eat the body of Christ. And through faith, we drink the blood of Christ. And he feeds us spiritually to sustain us as we go through this hard time in this life. And so you get when you get ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper, right, there's the invitation. For everyone who is trusting in Christ, who has looked to Christ, who has been baptized, who has asked Christ to forgive their sins, it says, come to the table, eat and drink, because this is Jesus taking care of you. This is Jesus feeding you. Every Sunday, as you hear the preaching of the word, this is God feeding you from the word to provide spiritual food for you so that you can go through this week. He feeds us week by week by week. Because the weeks are hard, right? The weeks are hard. But God cares for us and sustains us. And he sees us through even the hard times. And so we see that God has shown us great love in Christ. Christ has died for you. He's brought you into the family of God. He's preparing a place for you, and he feeds you. Our God is so good. He loves you, and he cares for you. And because God loves you and he cares for you, he also leaves us with this command so that we reflect his character, because God is growing us to more and more reflect him. He's conforming us to the image of Christ. And so the command to love the stranger, to love the foreigner, to love those who are different. He leaves that with us because as his Spirit is working in us, he's shaping us and molding us to reflect him. Not for our honor, not for our glory, but for his. And so we get the privilege of being like him. I have a 5-year-old son, and one of the really interesting things is as he's growing and he's learning about talking and speaking and reading and doing all these different things, one of the things that's really interesting is how he copies me. If you're a parent, that's like amazing and cute and at the same time terrifying. If you're like, maybe it's just me. If you're like me, it's terrifying in the sense like, I don't even know how far, but I have a glimpse of how imperfect I am, right? I don't know the full extent of that, but I have a little bit of glimpse of how imperfect I am and how much I need Jesus. And to see him like starting to copy and say things similarly or do things similarly, it's like, wow. But as we continue growing and walking with Jesus and following his example, we begin to do things more and more like Jesus does. And in this life, we're never going to be perfect. We will always fall short. But we will continue to more and more reflect God, that our actions and our thoughts and how we interact with others will more and more be conformed to the character of Christ. As I said, God gives us this command. And so much of what this looks like is going to depend on who you are, on how God has made you, how you've grown up, how you live. Basically, the welcome and the hospitality that you show is going to come out of who you are. And as you walk with Christ, as you walk with Jesus, that welcome will come out. Because remember the passage that was read before, the passage of the Good Samaritan? And, you know, Jesus says, like, and which one of these is the neighbor? And the guy says, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus says, like, you're right. You go and do likewise. And so, like, I don't know exactly what that's going to look like for you. You have experiences and talents and skills and blessings that I don't know. And I'm not going to put you in that box of what it's going to look like for you to show hospitality, to welcome, to show mercy to others. But I encourage you to think about that. Talk with your brothers and sisters here at GCC. And maybe maybe as you encourage one another in showing mercy and welcome, y'all will be talking about things. And some of you will be like, that might be a good idea. I don't think that's really for me. While at the same time, one of you might be like, yes, that definitely fits who I am. And so I encourage you to reflect the kindness and the mercy of your Heavenly Father as you show welcome and hospitality to others. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, you have made a place for us in your world. You have made a place for us in your kingdom. You have made a place for us in your family. You have welcomed us to yourself, and Christ has made peace between us through his blood. Help us now to rest in your love, in the good news that God, you have shown us your love and that Christ has died for us. Help us to rest in that. And as we continue to walk with you day by day, we ask that your love, your compassion, and the welcome that you have shown to us and bringing us into your family will overflow our hearts, that we reflect your character in how we show love, how we welcome, and how we have compassion and show compassion to those who are around us, and that we will do this for Jesus' sake, for the glory of your kingdom, and to the praise of your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.